We're doing the laws of Shabbos, and we had discussed last week that we have a term called Yad Soledes Bo, which the Talmud says is the heat at which a liquid would scorch the stomach of a baby, and we discussed that that's a lesser heat than would burn an adult, that children's skin is much more sensitive. Our definition is something which you'd pull back your hand, you wouldn't be able to leave your hand in that water. So that's the term Yad Soledes Bo. If the hand goes into a cup that's at that level of heat, the hand pulls back. So once liquids hit that heat, so that is a liquid that is, if it's in a Kli Rishon, we say that's, you've cooked that water, that's the level of cooking, once you bring the liquid to that level of heat. Now some want to say that the definition of Yad Soledes Bo is when you would drink it, you wouldn't be able to drink it all at one shot. You have to pause in between. Now why is this relevant to us? So it's relevant for a simple reason. We have teeth, we have fillings, and then some of us have false teeth, or caps. And we say that most, or many, materials are absorbent. So they absorb flavor. So what would be if you have, you're out camping, and you want to make yourself a cup of hot milk or hot chocolate milk. So you put milk in a pot on the fire. You don't have too many ways to work. So you have you have your cup, and some people have these cups that they could put directly on the fire. And then you heat up your milk. So that milk is a Kli Rishon. Once it hits the level of Yad Soledes Bo, once it hits that heat, so then technically, if you were to drink from that cup, put in a straw or put it in a handle, then wouldn't it be absorbed into your false teeth? And then your teeth become milchik. So you got to get new false teeth for fleishik, and you're going to eat meat or new fillings. Right? So Rabbi Feinstein was asked this question. Does a person have to have two sets of dentures? One for meat and one for milk. And he said, you don't, because the assumption is that you would not be drinking something if it was Yad Soledes Bo. Once you're drinking it, then it's not Yad Soledes Bo. So obviously Rabbi Feinstein doesn't agree with this definition that Yad Soledes Bo is the heat that you wouldn't drink it all at once, because we're all drinking coffee and just not all at once. Do you have to toivel dentures? Ooh, that's an interesting question. I don't know what dentures are made out of. Boy, I never thought of that.
I've seen this question of if you need two sets. I never read an answer to it, but I've seen
it. Okay, so that's Rabbi Feinstein's answer. It happens to be that we have a tendency to drink liquids that are too hot for us. And it's been getting worse now that we have instant heat and stuff. And people who repeatedly drink liquids that are too hot for them can kill the root of their teeth. And this is especially dangerous for people who have implants. The implants have a metal base that they basically put into the gums, and then they build the tooth around that, or they connect the tooth to those metal stubs. Now, those metal stubs can really heat up. So if a person's going to take coffee that's really very hot and drink it, so then over time, that the metal stubs heat up and they eat away at the gums. So that happens to be, you're mentioning people drink it, so it's not so hot. It happens to be the other way around. We tend to drink things that are too hot for us to hold. We hold the cup by a handle. But if I would have to hold this cup, well, it's very hot. But I have no problem drinking it. Our mouth enjoys things that are warmer
sure
than our hand.
Part of the baby's stomach, no question.
Yeah. So that's why I don't know why Rabbi Feinstein said that logic. I don't understand the logic of that response, so that if you drink it, it's not Yad Soledes Bo. People definitely, I've seen people drink things that are piping hot. I don't know how, but they do. Okay, back to us. So we're doing the laws of Shabbos. Lemaher bishulo. Okay, so in order to transgress the prohibition of cooking on Shabbos, you don't have to cook something completely raw into something completely cooked. Even if you do an act that's supportive. Now the Talmud gives you a few examples of how many people can transgress over the same chicken. The guy who slaughters the chicken, the guy who salts and skins the chicken, the guy who cuts the firewood to bake, the guy who lights the fire, the guy who collects the wood, the guy who puts the pot on the fire, the guy who puts the chicken in the pot. You could transgress many, many times over the same chicken. So,
and
so actions that are supportive of cooking can also be biblically prohibited. So let's say we have a snowy Shabbos coming up. So let's say you put up your cholent and it's not fully cooked. And comes Friday, at the end of the meal, you go and look at your cholent and you say, oh boy, that's going to be raw tomorrow morning. So you shift the cholent. You put it closer to the fire so that it'll cook better. That's a biblical prohibition. The reason we can shift things around the fire is because they are fully cooked. Even though you might say, but by tomorrow morning it would have cooked. This would only cause it to cook better. But it wasn't yet cooked. So then I did an action, the person who moved the pot did an action that facilitated the cooking, that promoted the cooking. I mentioned that I got a phone call a few months ago. Soldiers were in what's called a pillbox. They have this lookout post. They're on top of a high, they have this high box. It's a watch box, right? They have a bathroom there and a few mattresses and basically binoculars. And they're sitting over there watching, guarding. So they're on guard duty and they can spend a week there. So they have to bake their own, they have to cook their own food. The army can't go station by station and bring them food. So they get rice, they get a pot, they have a little burner there. So a soldier calls me up and he says, we're going to have shifts now going into Shabbos and we're trying to put together some kind of food. What's permissible for us to do? So I told him, you know, what you have to be most careful is every time you switch guard duty, so the guard who's leaving the post wants to eat. Now, if you're going to put up the cholent or the rice or whatever it is 5 minutes before Shabbos, that's fine. As we discussed last week, you'll have it tomorrow morning. But what happens with the guard at 12 o'clock at night who leaves his guard duty and wants to eat some cholent before he goes to bed? So what's he going to do? He's going to take the pot off the fire. He takes the pot off the fire and suddenly discovers it's half raw. Now he's not allowed to put it back on. Putting it back on the fire is the biblical prohibition of cooking. So that's this idea, that when something has not yet cooked, when it hasn't finished cooking, playing a supportive role in getting it to be cooked is the biblical prohibition of bishul. So that's one of the reasons that he says, let's say you have a pot and you're trying to cook soup. So it's Friday night, you come home and it's not fully cooked. So you figure, okay, we'll eat soup as the last course. And then you take out a bunch of vegetables and a bunch of liquids. What are you in effect doing? You are promoting the cooking. By taking out the liquids and the vegetables, there's less that has to cook, and so it will cook more quickly. By the same token, you would not be allowed to return the lid on that pot, because everyone knows that when you put the lid, it retains the heat, and then it cooks much more quickly. So that's what I said to the soldier. Not only wouldn't you be allowed to take it off and put it back on the fire, you wouldn't be allowed to take off the lid and put it back on. If when you take off the lid, you discover your cholent isn't fully cooked, you won't be able to put back on the lid. So you have to figure out when you know it's cooked. putting the lid, closing the lid, yes. Putting it back on the fire, closing the lid, putting it closer to the fire. All of this is only permitted once I know that it's fully cooked. I wouldn't be allowed to mix it. You remember we discussed magus, that by mixing it, we promote cooking. That would also be prohibited, biblically prohibited. So that's the idea that doing an act that's supportive for cooking is also prohibited. Next, the Torah prohibits cooking on Shabbos. So cooking and baking is classically done by the heat of the fire. But what would happen if I'm not going to use the direct heat of the fire, but rather I'm going to boil water in a pot on the fire, and then I'm going to take the water off the fire, and I'm going to pour in my oats. So my oats are going to sit there, and in 5 minutes, I'll have oatmeal. That works. So I didn't cook on the fire, but I cooked in the water that was heated by the fire. So that's called toledota ul, something that was heated by the fire. It is biblically prohibited to cook in something that was heated by the fire. So let's say I put a frying pan on the fire. Then I take it off the fire. I would be prohibited from breaking an egg on that frying pan and cooking it, roasting it, whatever you call what you do with an egg, baking it on the frying pan. What do you call what you do with an egg on a frying pan? Frying it? You call it the fry. Really? Okay, that's okay. Correct. Anything that was heated by the fire is called toledota'u, something that was heated by the fire, and it is biblically prohibited to cook in that, or bake or fry in that. Yes? Benny?
I was going to ask, does a kli sheni make a difference?
Oh, so why is a kli sheni permitted? Because we say it doesn't cook. It can do a process that is not considered biblically cooking. You're right. It can do a process that, to the naked eye, to our perspective, is identical. But we see that the biblical definition of cooking and baking is either by the heat of a flame or by something that was heated by the flame, but not by something that was transferred. You're right. Technically, we don't exactly understand why a kli sheni is permitted. Why is it that when I take water out of the pot that's on the fire into a cup, that's a kli sheni, I transfer it into a third cup, I can still have that water or oil, boiling oil at 100 degrees or 99 degrees centigrade. And yet, halachically, that's not considered cooking. Why is that permissible? It is, but I don't know why. I could give you a lot of reasons, but I'd be lying to you. I don't understand it. Because I can say, I think we discussed last week, that you could bring it to a tremendous heat. Did we discuss this? We discussed it last week, right? Yes.
I didn't know if I heard correctly. We talked about once something's fully cooked, if you took the top off and put the top back, that's okay.
Yes, we didn't deal with that yet.
But mixing wasn't.
Right.
Mixing was in the same breath, but that can't be okay.
So mixing, we'll still discuss that mixing, there's a machlokas. Some say that once it's fully cooked, then your mixing didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Your chont is fully cooked. So you benefited nothing by mixing it. So then there are those that would permit it. For example, we say you're allowed to mix water, because water, you don't benefit anything by mixing it on the fire. There's no magus. Others say that even when it's cooked, you're still benefiting the cooking process by shifting everything around. It does benefit.
It's still on
when it's on the fire, yeah. That's only when it's on the fire, right? Yes?
I was reading a Shabbos book in the library, how when Moshe Feinstein wrote about like a kli sheni should be an extra barrier and protection for yourself, I guess the Gemara never mentions anything about the kli sheni. So some people view this as like a very strong leniency that he wrote in, that it's not really, it doesn't really like protect you any more than just using a kli sheni. Is there any?
I don't think that's what Rabbi Feinstein wrote. Let's start again. The Gemara speaks about kli sheni.
And only this, right?
Correct.
So he wrote that using a third cup provides you some more leniency with teas or things.
Correct.
Like this.
No, Rabbi Feinstein ruled that a third cup, which is really a second cup, because the first one is the pot, it was on the fire. That's the kli rishon. And then you pour it into a cup, that's a kli sheni. And then you transfer it to another cup, that's a kli shlishi. Meaning the first vessel is the vessel that was on the fire. That's a kli rishon. But at any rate, yes, Rabbi Feinstein ruled that there's no room to worry about cooking in a kli shlishi. Once you hit that third vessel, there's no problem. It's not considered biblical cooking ever.
So the book was saying this is like a machloka because like the original sources never mentioned a third cup.
Correct.
Does anyone go by this, or is the book just like stating this as background information? Or?
If you're looking for stringencies, you'll be able to find many. But why would you look for them? Thanks, Rabbi Feinstein's a big rabbi, and we can rely on him. So I'm saying you're not. Why not? Okay. So we discussed toledota'u, something that was heated by fire. So what we learned today is yad soledisbo. We discussed having two sets of dentures, and the idea that Rabbi Feinstein says that whatever you could drink is not so hot that we would say it's yad soledes bo, that it causes something to absorb and emit flavor. We discussed that doing things that would promote cooking are prohibited when the item is not yet fully cooked, such as putting it back on the fire, such as putting the lid back on, such as mixing it. Once it's fully cooked, then I'm allowed to take it off the fire and put it back on the fire, and the details of that are yet to be discussed. Once it's fully cooked, I'm allowed to take the lid off and put it back on. Once it's fully cooked, I'm allowed, we said we'll have to discuss, am I allowed to mix it or not? We discussed that the prohibition of cooking is not only in the heat of a fire, but also in the heat of something that was heated by a fire. We said if you heat a frying pan and then you're going to cook on that frying pan, that's also going to be biblically prohibited. If you have boiling water and you're going to put an egg inside that boiling water, that's also biblically prohibited. The idea is there's no difference between cooking something in the fire or cooking something in an item that was heated by the fire. Both are biblically prohibited.